This is Duel. You're listening to Radio Freak America 28. Yes, Radio Freak America 28 is back in the lab. I'm Dual Parallel. I'm joined not only by Rax. How you doing, Rax?
Hey, not bad. It actually feels good to not have to do all the work for recording for a while.
No kidding. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It is, and I appreciate it.
Sure.
I appreciate you, Rax.
That's so special.
We are also joined by Zapperlink again. Thanks for joining us, dude.
Not a problem. Anytime, man.
Right on. Now, Zapper, we... And we thought it was best you do this. Of course, we are recording and streaming on September 11th, 1 year anniversary of the horrific terrorist attacks. So, Zapper, why don't you go ahead and the tribute?
Okay, well, first of all, Radio Freak America proudly sends our regards to the family and friends, and most importantly, our military for the 9/11, which, man, fuck that up, man.
No, you did it, man. It's fine. It's very emotional, and I understand. I think what Zapper's trying to say is that we were in New York recently for H2K2, and what a beautiful city, full of life. I can't imagine such horrible destruction in such a beautiful city that is, as I said, so alive. And we do feel for everyone who was affected by that horrible tragedy, especially in the community. And I think we should, actually Rax brought this up, this is a great idea, we should go ahead and give about at least 10 seconds of silence. So listeners, you know, bear with us, but we think it's something that needs to be done. Okay, I actually lost count.
Pretty close.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, because I wasn't actually using my hands, you know, so it's hard to keep track of all those numbers. So, yeah, I know that affected everybody.
No, it's you know, watching this stuff on TV now is, you know, looking back on it, it was so surreal last year, and the TV station just kept showing it over and over and over. It was really traumatizing, you know, seeing people jumping out of windows and all of that. fortunately, after I don't know how many hours of doing that, they came to their senses and realized, hey, we can't just sit here and do this all day. I mean, it's yes, it's bad. Yes, people need to know, but I mean, there's other you know, you can't just keep showing that. That gets ingrained on people's memories. I can't even imagine what little kids seeing that, you know, how that'll affect them.
I was actually living with a woman at the time, and I was out of my truck, and it happened, or actually the first one happened, and I knew. I said, that's an attack. That's not an accident. That was an attack. Of course, everybody didn't know at the time. I went to my truck. I was going to work, and I forgot something, went back in, and I came in, and she was bawling. It happened again. She was just crying, and that, you know, just that... That was ingrained in my mind. Coming back in, and that second plane hit the towers, and her just crying her eyes out, her bawling. It was, you know, to affect somebody 3,000 miles away that much. I can't imagine what the people there went through. So,
and the thing is too, and this was they were represented today. I mean, you know, from around the world, people were, you know, people were concerned. There was people there as representing various nations in that around the world, and. You know, it really was an attack on, you know, not only was it an attack on America, it was an attack on, you know, the Western lifestyle, our freedoms.
Yeah, democracy and freedom, no doubt.
And so that affects not only us in America. I mean, you know, the Australians, matter of fact, they had something in their parliament, their constitution and that, and it basically said, and this was like as a result from the Second World War or something, if someone attacks one of their allies, which America is one, they've attacked Australia. And I'm sure, you know, Canada felt the same way, Great Britain, Germany, France. I mean, the outpouring was amazing.
Absolutely. It brought a lot of us to back to our feet and the stronghold of our country. And in this event, I guess the only good thing that I could honestly say came out of it would be that the strength of the country, the strength of the people, and their pride in their people has returned, much more powerful than before. We're now more thankful for our freedom. We take little things that we fought for, you know, we took little things like, I don't know, maybe being able to
hack.
A lot of places where we want to go where we feel, and, you know, women are allowed to do what they want in our nation. We're no longer taking stuff like that is little for granted. Now, I know we base this on a show that honestly talks about freedom and certain issues that we're having today in society, but we really go back and think that, you know, now that we have this freedom, we can do what we want with it.
That's right, and
we're flying overhead.
Absolutely, that's another thing that this day last year we did not see any planes overhead.
No doubt.
The entire day, and to this day now there is planes flying again, and it's a beautiful sound. Even though I live in the city, it's kind of a absolutely, it is good to hear them back up in the sky.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's not forget. You know, great. You know, we have this renewed sense of patriotism. Let's make sure that's what it is, and let's make sure we protect our freedoms, and not just say, "Well, I'm a patriot now. Do whatever you want, government, for the, you know, for the country, for our security." No, you have to. The president said it this morning. I heard him. You still have to speak up for your freedoms. You still have to speak up for the issues that you believe in, and that's what we're here doing, especially now, especially in light of what happened 1 year ago today. So
you definitely can't take your freedoms for granted.
That's right.
And when you hand over all your responsibilities to the government, when someone says, "Oh, they should pass a law or whatever," hey, the ultimate responsibility lies with you, and you've got to you have to take that responsibility. You can't have it legislated. And you have to, again, speak up for your freedoms. Now, Duel, it's good that you mentioned, you know, being patriotic in that, because shortly after, and I can't remember the date that the USA Patriot Act was passed, but that was in legislation before September 11th, and it got rushed through very quickly afterwards as a result of September 11th. And the USA Patriot Act has nothing to do with being patriotic, and I wish I could remember what it stands for, but Patriot is an acronym, and it's a clever piece of marketing, you know, because, oh, I don't want to be unpatriotic. But if you look at that, and Jennifer Granick, I know I mentioned this before, but at H2K2, at DEF CON, had a good presentation about that. So you really need to look into those things, because all in the name of, quote, you know, homeland security, safety, and everything else, we end up getting a lot of our freedoms are being taken away under those auspices.
Yes.
Absolutely. For instance, the U.S. Patriot Act involves allowing certain industries, most especially the media industries, they now give them the right to basically, if they see something that they don't like. For instance, I download a song up on the top 100 Billboard. They have the right now to go and either destroy, hack, deface, whatever they need to do to stop me from getting that. And I don't know about you, but last time I checked, hacking and whatnot was illegal.
Well, that brings up a whole other thing. Now, Dua, are you still out there with us?
Oh yeah, I'm here.
Cool. I heard a click a while back, but they actually with the quote unquote hackback that the RIAA Record Industry Association of America wants to do. I believe that actually falls under the DCMA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. But and hacking per se isn't illegal. I mean, it's what you do with it in the sense of there was even, and we talked about this on the show, and we got a little more information and clarified. But they were talking about life sentences for hackers in federal prison. Well, you know, it turns out when you look into this, it's like someone who's done something, you know, that affects, you know, like medical things, and you know, someone can die as a result, and that type of thing. But you know, we're all these things are being, you know, packaged and marketed to us. And let's face it, folks, in the West, and that you know includes Western Europe and everything else. Everything is marketing now. So even the USA Patriot Act, they gave it that name for marketing purposes. And, you know, they're doing all these things back at us, corporate greed. We've been talking about it for ever since we started the show. And lo and behold, you know, all these CEOs and that are now getting busted for all their, you know, dirty accounting practices and that. You know, so everything gets repackaged and remarketed back to us. So the RIAA is you know, trying to get this hackback legislation passed, which basically says that they suspect, even if they just suspect that someone is trading music illegally, and according to them, everything is illegal. You know, if you're trading music online, that's completely illegal. You know, never mind about independent musicians and independent bands and the various licenses that are out there that you can license music for listening to. But forget all about that. They basically say anytime you're doing peer-to-peer stuff, they should have the right to do hack back into you or do a denial of service. And there's actually getting to be some pushback on that. There was an article on September 5th in the Washington Post about Verizon refusing to disclose a user's identity. RIAA checked, you know, was checking things out, I guess, traced it back, found it was a Verizon's IP address. And they, RIAA basically demanded this person's information, and the company refused on the grounds that the request for the information was overly broad, based on nothing more than an allegation of wrongdoing. You know, so, wow. You know, right on for Verizon for actually sticking up for you know, us out there, all the consumers, and our rights.
Yeah, that's refreshing. Now, Zapper, you're doing your own little thing to push back the RIAA.
Absolutely. As we all, at least I know we all are, and I'm sure all listeners are, we all believe in freedom of information. And I just opened up an open app server that allows people to basically gather information in one peer-to-peer network.
Now that's
by some reason, some form, the MPA or whoever would be out there would like to, you know, grasp the hand and tear that apart. So I've already took the front hand and banned the list of people that would most likely feel the need to disrupt that service.
Very nice. Now, I have to tell listeners that, of course, your open app server right now is just for the AZ2600 group, but, you know, maybe it'll be public in the future, but you're still showing them, I think, even though, you know, they might not know it. You know, we're just a, you know, just a gnat on the elephant's ass. You're still doing something.
Absolutely, and I actually got a question. Maybe Rax will be able to answer this. Is the fact that now that the act allows these corporations to do that, but is that any or just them?
Well, they're saying that what they're alleging is that since they have ownership of the copyright of that, they should be able to do that. So if your question is, can I turn around and you know, use the same law on them? Some people have posed that before. The answer generally is unless. You know, you can kind of sort of prove that they have something that you have copyrighted, you can't use the same law against them.
Well, because I was saying, like, you know, say, like, me and Duo get together, we decide to start our own copyright firm. We get together, we make a little bit of music, we copyright it. Now, if they were to attack ourselves for distributing this music, who's to say, because they attacked us for our copyright material, say, like, if they were to download it, if we were to find out, hey, this guy from the MPAA just downloaded our little one of our music. Do we now have the right to go and stop them at any cost?
No.
Well, it depends on whose lawyers are bigger.
Yeah, that's a big fact.
It's always coming down to money.
Yeah, exactly.
My lawyer can beat up your lawyer in court.
Oh, in La La Land, it'd be great. Yes, we'd get to hack them, but no, it doesn't. That's not how it works. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's talk about more important stuff. I know 9/11 and RIA, all this stuff's very important, and yeah, listeners need to know. But let's talk about real important stuff, okay? Like me being here tonight. I am sacrificing. You know why I'm sacrificing? Because two inebriated women called me before the show and wanted me to go to happy hour with them. And no, I said no. Oh, what am I thinking? The worst thing is, I couldn't tell them. What am I going to tell them? Well, no, me and my buddies, we got a hacker radio show, we got some great listeners. No, you can't tell them that. That'd be like, that's worth some bad breath, dude. So I said, listeners, I am here for you. I'm here to bring you things like the 9/11 tribute. I'm here to bring you things like the RIA. I am here for you. I sacrifice. And like I said, we had great listeners. I want to show you how great our listeners are.
And just for the record, I'm just here for the chicks. I just want to get chicks.
That's right. Hey, you know what? Hopefully I'll grab all these chicks. I'll slide it in nice and slow. I remember I went out with this one girl once, right? I took her to lunch. It was all nice. And then I showed her. I was published in a magazine, 2600. And I showed her the article, right? At a bookstore. And oh my God, she was, boo, she was gone, dude. So, people, if you get published, if you do this kind of stuff, just keep it to yourself. Make sure it's cool. Not every girl is as cool as Mary Chan,
Hacker chicks rule, so,
Oh, big time.
If you hook up with a hacker chick, man, you're all set.
That's right. Highly intelligent, very attractive. Okay, now here's, I mentioned great listeners. We do have some awesome listeners. I want to read a couple of emails. One is from C4. Just wanted to say what's up. I'm new to RFA. Heard you guys from an old HackerMind episode. Wanted to let you know that RFA is great. Keep up the excellent reporting, great entertainment, and intelligent discussions. Is he listening to the same show? Anyways, it must be hard work putting on such a quality show weekly. A little bit. Look what happened to HackerMind. Let us hope it's really for the better. Yeah, I'm sure it is. And I wanted to let you know it's not going unappreciated. Well, thank you very much. As soon as the stickers become available, I'll proudly display it on my car and hope someone takes notice and shares in the knowledge that you, Rax, and Condor bestow upon us weekly. Well, thanks, C4. The stickers are here. The address is on the front page. I haven't checked the P.O. box lately, but I'm sure there's some requests for stickers in there.
I just got to say, too, it's cool hearing from people out there because there's no phone-in type of thing except for us that are on the air here. So
yeah.
It's actually cool seeing people from around the world emailing us.
It's great. Oh, speaking of around the world, I've got an international listener. And, we asked for the listeners, international listeners, to give us an idea of their scene. And we received, guess what, a reply from Nicholas in the U.K. He says, let's see, episode 26, I got to get down here. Okay. If you're still interested in an international perspective via email, here it is. Firstly, I'll start off by saying that I'm not really that personally involved in the UK community scene here, and that I don't go to 2600 meetings, cons, etc., but I do think I know a reasonable amount about it. And he does, by the way. Again, he says, basically, from what I have seen here in the UK, there are two regular 2600 meetings held by groups who have a reasonable web presence, write up meeting reports, and are actively involved in the hacking scene. Those are london2600.org.uk, London2600, and brum2600.net, which is the Birmingham 2600. Over here, there have been a few cons, but on a much smaller scale compared to DEF CON, etc., the most recent being DNS CON, which you can find at dnscon.org, in August, of which there is a write-up at, and this gives an address. I'll give you the address, guys. Next, let's see, access.org UK was another con here, of which there were three in the series, the last being in 97. It featured speakers on a limited range of topics and a Hack the Flag competition. As far as I'm aware, there are no hacker freaker-related radio shows, published magazines over here, except for the imports of 2600, which a very small select number of shops sell in various parts of the country. That's kind of sad. Well, it's not sad. It's just it's surprising. I thought it'd be... that's probably being a little pretentious, assuming that 2600 is distributed as widely as it is here. Here, as with the U.S., the proliferation of wireless networks has increased sharply in recent years, so much so that there are a number of groups such as Consume.net who are actively involved in setting up free access points in their respective areas for community use, just as there are in the U.S. 802.11b has also reached the mainstream news media, with the BBC frequently writing articles on their website about the insecurities of wireless networks, how we are in the area of drive-by hacking, and one featuring the Pringles can antenna. Yes, the ubiquitous Pringles can antenna. This, along with an on-air piece about war chalking featured on its main TV news broadcast and technology show Click Online. That's great. Let's see. Hold on.
Where was this person again?
His name's Nicholas, and he's from the UK, and I'm still reading. Actually, my printer doesn't work for some reason, so I'm reading it off the screen, and you know what? It's not as easy. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's as easy reading off the screen as it is on paper. Hold on here. I'm still going through. I don't know if he wants all of this read. Let's see.
Maybe we can take and put it up on the site there, then.
You know what? I'm going to read this real quick. It shouldn't take too long. And about hacking, I'm not sure if you're interested in what I'm doing personally. I suppose I am as part of the international hacking community. So, oh, yeah, he discovered a vulnerability in a PHP bulletin board 2, PHP BB 2, PHP bulletin board.
Uh-oh.
That basically allows you to root a board. Hopefully, I heard... That's all I'm going to read about that, because I don't know how much he wants me to go into it. But from what I hear, you know, in the grapevine, I think he's going to publish. So hopefully he'll send that 2600 and get that published. It's pretty cool. I've got it. I've got a demonstration of the exploit. I haven't tried it on a board yet. I'd like to.
I can tell you, I believe it's the same one that I actually had tried against mine. And what it does is I believe the same one he's talking about is attacks the bulletin board version 2, not 2.0.2. And what it does is basically grabs the database name, the username, and password to SQL database for that forum.
Really? I don't know. I'll send it to you, and we'll see if it works. We'll see if it's the same thing. So that's from Nicholas. Nicholas, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that international perspective. And please, I want more. I want to know about all different countries and what the community's like over there. Can you believe this? Keep up the excellent reporting, great entertainment, and intelligent discussions. That is awesome. Thanks again to C4.
Got a fan and a half, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's wow. I didn't know we were all that. If we are, I'm surprised and I'm happy. I'm glad, believe me. But that's awesome.
We're just a bunch of geeks talking. That's all we are, you know?
We're having fun. It's something I wanted to do. I wanted to hear more of, so I started to make it. Now, you've all heard that rant before. So we've got great listeners. We've got a lot of great updates to the site. The stickers are up. They're blowing up. We're going to have a tally page up soon. A lot of people, we've received a lot of donations at the latest 2600 meeting. You know, I want to talk about that, Rax. You brought us all together at the meeting, and next meeting we are going to have more formal presentations. We created a listserv, we've got domain names registered, and like I said, we're going to have more formal presentations. I already have an idea for mine. I actually have a couple of ideas. I'll just have to see which one I get done first, but I'm excited about it. Rax, Zapper, what are you guys going to present by any chance?
Right now, I'm not sure about totally what I'm going to present. I will be, hopefully, if I can get a hold of one of your guys' laptops, I'm going to be creating the standard, basically it's a PowerPoint presentation, but since I don't conform to the everyday society, it will be created with openoffice.org.
Hell yeah. Rax, you got any ideas?
I'll probably do a thing on wireless security.
Very nice. I'm planning, hopefully, the new freak reference and or... Oh, what was the other one? I was going to do something on, what was I going to call it? Linux, like the Easy Road to Wireless or something like that. But I think the group there is really beyond that, you know, beyond something, how do I say it? A beginner article like that. So hopefully I'll do like a big freak reference, like all the numbers, all the glossary terms, everything. So I can bring people into the scene, you know, hopefully get them interested in freaking. Now, after the meeting, actually the day after the meeting, Rax and I, we ended up hanging out. And I know we didn't call you Zapper. I'm so sorry. Honestly, it wasn't planned.
We went down to Fry's. We were going to do some more driving, but the weather was looking really bad, and you know, so we just hung at my place and hacked for a while.
You forgive us, right? Zapper?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm avoiding comment.
Anyways, we ended up playing with a bunch of stuff. Rax did a little messing around with Red Hat 7.3, as did I. Rax actually did some dual booting with another operating system. And Rax, I think you should tell listeners about this because they might want to know what this little tip you have for him is.
This is great. You know, I wanted to dual boot on the laptop between XP, Windows XP, and Red Hat, and I was using Grub as opposed to Lilo. And Grub is the Grand Unified Bootloader or something. But anyway, so I did a little search, found a great site that's called Linux Orbit, like, you know, Orbit Around the Moon, linuxorbit.com, and they had an article there, and it talked about the fact that most of the people, as they're going through, and they really ought to fix Grub to do this, but Grub apparently has to have a title for a partition. And when you install, you know, whatever Linux distro that you want to install, it puts a title on there. However, your existing Windows partition doesn't get a title, so you have to go into it there on the screen as you're installing it and give it a label, give it a title, and Grub will then see it. So it says a lot of people, you know, do that. They install it, they skip past that, and they figure they can't get it to dual boot. So that was a great little tip for dual booting, but on Red Hat. But I can tell you, this site is really fresh. It's got a lot of good tips and how-tos. Dual and I were checking out all the wallpaper and stuff they had there.
It's on my desktop now.
Yeah, so it's a great site, linuxorbit.com. Just ran into that, but that was a handy little handy-dandy little tip.
Yeah, that's actually a really good one because that would be easily overlooked.
Absolutely. I mean, they really need to fix Grub to make it do that automatically.
Yeah, now, and Zapper, if this makes you feel any better, my machine was totally hosed that night. It got totally hosed. I was hot swapping cards. We were making sure Rax was having a little trouble. And I swear, Rax, that has to be, the adapter has to be ETH0. I know it. Anyways.
Do you think that crash your Red Hat was doing the hot swapping?
Yeah, well, no. I think stuff in 7.3 on this old P2 laptop's probably, it was probably just hanging on already, you know. But it just happened when I hot swapped the second time. My wireless NIC, my machine was totally hosed, totally unrecoverable. So I'll be rebuilding that soon. So that was not fun. But of course, what was there to the rescue? Nopix and War Linux, which I used for the first time that night. And I actually want to review it a little bit for the listeners. I've used it a couple of times since, and I actually enjoy it a lot. It's a very good distro. First of all, there's no graphical user interface at all. It's text only. So it's small, it's fast, it boots up fast. It's got Orinoco. If you got a Lucent card, it uses Orinoco drivers, so the Waveland drivers. So when they get, right now, Kismet does not work in War Linux, but when they've already got the right driver set for when they do use Kismet. So that I'm waiting for. Of course, they got the wireless tools, Wavemon. I say look out in Nopix. I say War Linux is going to be... it's going to be the shizat, man. It's going to be the distro to use, especially if you're war driving. It boots so fast.
I think they have kind of different markets, though, in the sense of, you know, War Linux, again, without the GUI and without all the extra apps, it is specifically for war driving.
It is. It is.
As opposed to Nopix, which, you know, is like a full-blown environment with games and sound and, you know, open office and browsers and, you know, GIMP and everything under the sun.
Yeah.
I have to give you guys mad props for showing me that. I told Dual about the event that happened. I was running across, you know, playing around on my Linux, and bam, what do I see? I see a BMC port open. I'm like, oh, great. So I go searching through my files and find out someone owned my box. And
yeah.
I gotta reboot it.
Wait a minute. Can you repeat that, please?
My box was owned.
All right. Yes. Awesome. That's cool.
So what I did is reboot it, and it turns out this guy who owned it didn't have a clue what he was doing. He was a severe script kitty, and he ended up messing up my rc.d. So there's no way for me to get my box back up on the net. I'm having tons of troubles with a bunch of things running. So thank goodness I burned the night before a copy of Nopix, because you guys were showing me I liked what I saw. So popped it in a drive, was able to get it all copied off the hard drive, and it's back up again. So, nine props for that. Also, on the Red Hat, watch out for going into GNOME with a 7.3 on Red Hat, because, well, GNOME 1.4, I believe, is on a Red Hat 7.3. I've been logging under two different installs, and as soon as you log in GNOME as root, first thing it does is bam, fatal error, bam, your task, the bar on the bottom, completely disappears, and I haven't been able to recover it back since.
Really? That's a very good tip. That's a very good tip. Yeah, so you're right, Rax. And Rax, you're right. Of course, there are different audiences, but I've been using, you know, recently Nopix for war driving. But now that, boy, now that I mess with War Linux, especially if they get Kismet working right in there, boy, there's no question what I would use.
And I know they're working on getting Kismet going in Nopix too. So.
Yeah. And while we're speaking about hosing machines, I found this little bug. Well, it's not a bug, but you go to you boot into War Linux, you go to user bin, and you'll see a hold on. Oh, it doesn't have it. I'm actually doing it as we speak, and you'll see a symbolic link to hold on. Shift. Ah, screw it. You'll see a link to something a link called left bracket. Right, that's what's confusing me. It's just a left bracket. I honestly don't know what it is. I haven't looked into it. I don't even know where the link goes. But all you got to do is do a more. Go to user bin, do a more. Left bracket, and it'll totally hose your console. Fill it with binary, hose everything, hose your prompt, really screws it up. It's like the old, you know, cat in your proc file, something. It's just really awesome. So, do not go into user bin in More Linux and more left bracket. It'll hose everything, and you'll have to reboot.
Well, there was a problem a long time ago that I found with characters. Now, you're talking about characters and using certain things.
Right.
In 6.2 that I used to run on my server of Red Hat, there is a problem with using certain characters in your password. For instance, pound. Pound creates the end of password, so anything after pound, when you use it in your password,
uh-huh.
The Linux doesn't care about it. Anything you enter before the pound, it recognizes it as your password. So,
right, because Linux, you can use
it. That for the war game I was doing, or I was hosting, that I had a pound, and we quickly found that was an issue.
Yeah, I bet. It significantly reduced your password strength. No, it's got to be a binary file. It's basically, you know, that's all it's doing. It's just printing it all out. It's like messing around in proc. So, yeah, it's host your box.
The answer to the whole password thing is do the option for the MD5 password handler.
It was MD5. It was the password's a shadow. So it wasn't really that. We were sitting there testing it because a friend of mine who was also rude, we were sitting there hosting the war game, fixing it. He was sitting there going, well, what's the password? I gave it to him, and he goes in, and he's like, well, wait, I'm screwed up, and he hit enter. Bam, it accepted it. So it was like, I guess the rule where pretty much any combination of characters doesn't truly apply to version 6.2. Now, I haven't tried it with any new versions lately, but I did notice that was an issue. So those people out there who have a pound in their password, any of the listeners on 6.2, you might want to change your password.
Okay, you guys are getting a little too far into computers for me, okay? I'm getting a little dizzy here. it's just too much. Let's talk about phones, please, Lord. Lord Almighty. Actually, segue us, Rax, baby. Don't you mess with a Mac?
Yeah, I got a hold of Mac here, and actually I'm going to take a picture of my lab, my office here at home.
Yeah.
It's decked out. But so we were playing with that, and I did the restore CDs for it and got it back to the original settings. I don't want to mess with it. One of the new, you know, iShade iMacs, the one with the little LCD screen on the Chrome arm. But anyway, so as I'm filling things out, you know, I never put real information in any kind of registration stuff that gets sent off online because I don't think they need to know. So I put in, you know, my area code plus 555-1212. Every listener out there should kind of recognize that. First of all, 555 is an exchange, you know, is reserved, and then the 1212 is for information. But what did we see, Duel? Wasn't something kind of interesting?
It actually checked and also stated what correct exchanges would be, which amazed me.
Yeah, so apparently, you can't use the following exchanges. These are not valid exchanges. 555, 422, 611, 911, and anything less than 200.
That was phenomenal. I was surprised it even used the word exchange.
Right. But, you know, the funky thing, and this is going to piss off all the Mac users out there, but anyway, as I'm doing the restore CDs, you know, there's six CDs for it, and that's fine. So you pop it in, you know, you boot it up, and you hit the C key as it's booting up off the CD, you know, it sees the CD. And the little picture comes up, and it shows a little man standing there with, like, a, you know, like a donut floating in the air at the CD. It says, put the CD with this symbol on it. It doesn't say put in disc one, disc two. Number two, it showed this guy standing there with two little CDs floating in the air. Put the CD with this symbol on it. So it was kind of, I don't know if they thought that, you know, since Mac people are so artistic that they couldn't deal with numbers, but that was really weird.
No offense to all you pixel pushers. By the way, there's quite a few pixel push, and this is what they call themselves, by the way. Graphic artists, design artists, they call themselves pixel pushers. There's quite a few at the meeting now, and man, and the thing is, they're super intelligent, they're technically savvy, and they're talented. That really bugs me. They have, like, talent. They have, like, this creativity oozing out of them, you know? That's like it just amazes me. It totally amazes me. The things they can do. Like our new logo from Leverius. That amazes me. I can never do anything like that, you know? And they have all that stuff on top of it, so props to them, man.
I've found those artistic people to be by far the most strenuous and strength that goes into their artwork is so political at times that it would beat any politician standing up on a basically a soapbox and preaching for hours when you can look at some of these people's artwork and just bam, you know, get the words across like that.
Yeah, and definitely check out the HackerArk Gallery at oldschoolfreak.com. There's a lot of new pieces. A lot have a lot of meaning. Take the time and look at them. Don't just whip through them, you know, don't be a dick. Take the time and really, really look and contemplate and see how it makes you feel. Because I guarantee you that emotions will be evoked by viewing that art. There is some great art on the site.
I got to tell you, too, that we left them to be a rather large size, so they're a high quality in case you want to download them for yourself. But so they'll be slow coming up, but just expect that.
Yeah, we got Rax. Rax did a great job putting up some thumbnails. It's really nice, so you can kind of check it out. And yeah, we didn't skimp on anything for the artists. We left it as they were given to us. And thank you for giving that art. I mean, think about it. That's something they created, you know. And they shared that with us. They shared that with all of you listeners. So go appreciate it. Shit, go to your freaking local museum for crying out loud. Appreciate some art there too.
Getting back on phones.
Phones, baby.
There was an interesting thing I saw in the latest article or latest issue of Wired magazine. By the way, if you're, it took me a long time to actually like Wired magazine. You know, I thought they were too cool. You know, psychedelic. You know, inks on the covers and all this other stuff. And I finally, once I got past that, and once they got past the, you know, the fact that they were, you know, just so creative and, you know, all that. It's actually a very, very good magazine. So there's an article in here. There, and a lot of people, everyone from who was this, the latest guy, future South African president Thabo Mbeki, Vice President Al Gore, former FCC Chairman Reed Hunt, Carly Fiorini, who was HP's CEO. All these people were quoting this thing, the statistic that said half the people in the world haven't made a phone call. So the guy who wrote this article did some digging, and he said that was actually in 1994, this guy named Greg Levert at Telecom 94 in Toronto did a guesstimation, and he figured out that, you know, roughly half the people in the world didn't have access to phone lines. So the article goes on to say, assuming that was the case in 94, if you think about it, how you know, the world and technology has changed since 94, you know, things have just blown up. So says the ITU, the International Telephone Union, estimated there were 689 million landlines in 1995, and 1 billion phone lines by 2001.
Wow.
This amounts to an average annual growth rate of slightly more than 7%. Put it another way, half as many landlines were laid in the last 6 years of the 20th century as in the whole previous history of the world.
Wow.
So the growth has been phenomenal.
It says the growth rate is even higher if you're focusing on the developing world. China alone went from 41 million landlines to 179 million during those 6 years. 9 others, Sudan, Albania, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, Ghana, Nepal, Palestine, Rwanda, and Cambodia, tripled their hardwired phone lines, and 35 other countries, including India, Indonesia, and Brazil, doubled the number of landlines during the same period.
That has got to be freak. Oh, of course, you'd probably get your hand cut off, but that's got to be freak heaven. Think about that. The tripling of infrastructure in that amount of time. You know, there's got to be so many things to explore, so many things possibly left wide open. You know, I'm not sure. That's got to be freak heaven.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I know that in China, they've actually skipped over all the old style equipment and, you know, SS7s and all that, and they're just doing voice over IP. They're laying fiber. And they're doing strictly voice over IP. I mean, why go with an old, you know, 20-year-old technology when you're doing all this stuff new? So they're doing all VoIP.
Yeah, that's actually probably pretty smart. You know, anybody who has been an old-school freak for a long time, probably just the local AZ 2600 people, but early on, I had a piece about, what was the country? A country, I believe, in Western Africa. And please, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought it was Liberia. I don't remember. And they were going from crossbar switches to, and I listed a bunch of information, they were going from crossbars just recently to DMS-100s. And actually, I spoke with the man who was supplying them with the DMS-100s at this this big telecommunications firm back east. So yeah, countries are upgrading like you wouldn't believe. And I've seen it firsthand. So
when it also goes on, if you can... you humor me another minute or two here, it goes down about mobile phone growth during that time.
Oh, yeah?
So the number of active cell phones in the world grew tenfold during those same 6 years, 1995 through 2001. There was 91 million phones in 1995 and 946 million phones in 2001.
You know, what's scary about that statistic is, I don't know about you guys, but I'm the weird techie. I own, honestly, two cell phones. And our family, we do not currently own a landline, because in today's society there's no longer a need for a landline. The only line we need is that little cable that runs our internet, and that and the power, and that's all we need.
I know we've got listeners up in Norway and Scandinavia, and my understanding is that that's the highest density of cell phones in the world is up in Scandinavia, and there's more cell phones than there are landlines.
Well, I call me old-fashioned. I feel the need for a landline. I actually use it very little. I use it to record the show like we're doing now. I do use it when I'm home. But yes, it's true, I do use my cell phone much more. But I still would want a landline. I don't know why. I can't explain it.
You're just old-fashioned.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe I'm old school. I have to have a landline. Not to mention, it's so much fun you can have, you know? Messing around with the lines in your house, checking the voltages, the resistance, you know, tracing lines. Putting in new boxes, man. Dude, that's so much fun. Or am I wrong?
You're just such a freak, man.
Okay, dude, I'm sorry.
We were in Fry's and Duel was drooling over all these butt sets and everything else. Oh, man, look at this.
Dude, $500 Harris butt set, dude.
No, it's like, yeah, it's a butt set. Okay, it's cool. I understand. This is so cool. It is.
That's why my presentation and Meme understands. Meme, you're with you. I'm with, dude. Meme, we have brother and sister. She understands. That's why I'm getting my presentation, the new freak reference. I'm going to let people know how much fun it is, you know. I'm going to let them in on the scoop, baby. Oh, I want to make some... You know what? Oh, wow, what a great idea. Let's make some phone calls.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. Okay. All right, I found this juicy cocotte during my travels in Arizona this last weekend. And I just had a shitload of numbers all over it.
And again, for those of... folks tuning in for the first time, a cocotte is a customer-owned, coin-operated telephone.
Thank you, Rex. Yes, and this was a juicy one. And this is a Fortress, but it had this, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's got this funky booth. It's like it's molded plastic. It's like injected, you know, injection molded plastic. It's like hollow, you know. It's like a giant kid's toy. No, I didn't, but I will. I know I can find one. You know, and it's like hollow, and you can bang on it. It's a crazy-looking cocotte. So it had five toll-free numbers on it. The one number I know is like to some weight loss crap. So I didn't even bother writing this down. But I've got four others, and actually I didn't write down what they were, and I don't know what they are. So
we'll find out together.
That's right. We're going to call cold right now. Okay, so hang on, you guys. I'm not gonna opt for it. I don't feel the need. Be right back. Okay, flashing over.
5 minutes just to let you know, because it seems I'm getting too much sound around me. I don't want to affect the show, so I'm probably going to...
Hey, guess what? I'm back, Zephyr. Okay.
Hi, we're glad you called. We know you're interested in working from your home, and you need to understand that we are not offering a work-from-home job, employment, envelope stuffing, a get-rich-quick pyramid scheme, or anything like that.
Yeah, you
see,
are.
We are looking...
Yeah, you are.
We're serious about owning a legitimate home-based business and who are willing to follow directions.
Was that beep?
We are offering you a very powerful opportunity where you can achieve your financial goals without affecting or changing your current job. We will show you and teach you...
God, that was painful.
Yeah,
why didn't they get to the... I wanted to get to a message so I can leave something vulgar for them. Do you have to go, Zapper?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to let you go because I got too much noise. I don't want to affect the show or anything because I've already got my cars going by. Someone's playing their ghetto music off in the distance.
Dogs? Dogs?
Experience.
Kill the dog. All right, man. Thanks for joining us on the show. And stay in touch. And hopefully we get you on future shows.
Absolutely. I'd love to join you anytime I can. I just want to leave the listeners with one last thought, especially for September 11th, and it's the word, or rather the phrase, would be practice your freedom, because remember, you have it, use it.
Right on, man.
Very good.
Later, Zapper.
You take care.
Okay.
Now, you know what, dude? That is intelligent conversation.
There you go.
He is intelligent. Okay, let's make another phone call. All right, let me flash it over here. That last phone number was 800-692-7035, and I just lost my place. Okay, I gotta do this again. This new number I'm calling is 877-549-6987, and I don't know what it is. Okay.
Thank you for calling Touch America. If you're experiencing equipment difficulties or need to report lost coins, please hang up and dial 1-1. If you need operator assistance, please hang up and follow the instructions on the phone. If you're a Touch America Operator Services agent, please dial 877-418-0416 for assistance.
Damn it.
Thank you.
Well, that's probably the long distance company.
Well, yeah, I wanted that number. Hold on, I'll call him back and get it. Okay, let me flash over again. I think it was called Touch America.
Thank you for calling Touch America. If you're experiencing equipment difficulties or need to report lost coins, please hang up and dial 211. If you need operator assistance, please hang up and follow the instructions on the phone. If you're a Touch America Operator Services agent, please dial 877-418-0416 for assistance. Thank you.
Operator Services Customer Agent? Is that what you said?
Something like that, yeah.
Guess what, Rex?
So we're calling next.
Oddly enough... How do they know I'm a Touch America Operations Operator Services Customer Agent? Hold on. Okay. Boy, I'm glad I got that number, because being a Touch America Operator Services Customer Agent, I need that number. It's very important to me. And again, that number is 1-877-418-0416. Ooh, you know what? I'm going to optivert. All right, I'm going to optivert, Rex. All right, hold on. La la la, operator services, customer agent. That is me.
AT&T. Thank you for using AT&T.
Here we go.
You have reached the desk of Ursula Flores. Please leave me your name, number, and a brief message, and I will call you back as soon as I can. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Jamil Hassenpfeffer, and I'm an operator services customer agent living in northern Milwaukee. And we've had a lot of customer-owned, coin-operated telephones with the plastic housings, you know, instead of the metal housings, you know, they have the plastic booth housings. And they've actually been punctured quite a bit, and they start to fill with water when it rains, and then the punctures in the side start spraying out like a big sprinkler, and they've been soaking customers. We've been having lots of complaints. So, yeah, they've been calling 211 asking for their coins back because the rainwater spraying out of these hollow plastic booths have been soaking their Armani suits. So, if you could, give me a call at 91-17397. Thanks. Are you there?
Armani suits, and they're using...
fuck, I don't know. What the fuck? It's whatever comes out of my mouth, man. I have no idea. Some woman, that's weird. She's got an 800 number. Okay, next number. Armani suits and a paper. I never considered that. Okay, hold on. This is 800-343-8477. Don't know what it is.
You have dialed a number that is not available from your calling area. 002T.
That sucks.
002T. Of course, you can get messages like here. You know, I found a good way to get. Let's say you want to program, you know, quote, want to program your own cell phone. You've got a cell phone with no service. And you want to know the SID, the system identifier for your local cellular carrier. All you have to do is call some number to get an error message, and usually they'll give you the SID. So it's not like, I don't know if they think they're hiding it or something, I don't know. But you can easily get it by calling a wrong number with a cell phone no service, and again, get the SID of that carrier. Okay, this is the last number. Yeah, thankfully, right, Rax? Okay, hold on.
Seven best call. For English assistance, press 1 now. Para recibir asistencia, please enter the area code and number you are calling.
Well, shit, I don't want to do that. Hold on. I didn't get that one. Hold on 1 second.
Welcome to 877 Best Call. For English assistance, press 1 now. Para recibir, please enter the area code and number you are calling.
Let's call, 402 area code.
For a collect call, press 1. To bill this call to your calling card, American Express, MasterCard, or Discover, enter your card number now. If you need operator assistance, press 0.
It's interesting billing to a credit card.
Yeah. American Express, even.
Please hold. Your call is being transferred to a live operator.
Thank you.
As opposed to a dead operator.
77 best call. This is Scott.
Hi, Scott. I was wondering, first of all, I'm trying to call a number in area code 402. First of all, what area code is that? I was just paged.
Columbus, Nebraska.
That's Columbus, Nebraska. Not Columbus, Ohio, but Columbus, Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and how much would a call there be?
You pay by change?
Yeah.
Okay, just dial 1, the area code, and the number, and the automated operator will tell you how much to put in.
Okay, how much to have you connect that call for me?
Depends if you call it collect, third-party calling card, or with a credit card.
Oh, that'd be collect.
Okay, the auto rate you requested is $3.35 for the first minute and 10 cents for each additional minute.
Okay, so the $3 up front. Okay, do you know what time it is there in Columbus, Nebraska?
It is 9:21.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.
Rex.
Yeah.
Holy moly, I still gotcha. Actually, that wasn't too bad. $3 for a call. It's not like that one, what was it, eight cent calls or something like that. It was like $30. It was unbelievable how much they were charging for a call. Yeah, big time. Now look at that. Rex. all that fun from one payphone. All that fun. Not to mention the weight loss number we could have called and harassed.
Well, while you were doing that, I'm sitting here playing with the iMac, and it's kind of interesting. I booted up IE on it.
Uh-huh.
And then put for its default homepage, home.netscape.com. Microsoft really appreciates that.
That's quite amusing. That's quite amusing.
What I really want to do is get in and play with this. I mean, you know, full-blown Apache is on there, and everything else. That's what I want to get in and play with.
You got a shell yet? It's OS 10, I'm assuming.
Yep.
So have you messed around with the shell at all?
No, I haven't had a chance. This is actually the first time I booted up since you were over here.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm sure you can have tons of fun with that thing. What do you know what Apache it's running?
No, it's probably the 1.3, whatever. I doubt if it's a 2.0.
Yeah, I'm running 2.0 at home. I thought I read an article about why 2.0 is going to be dropped or something like that because people aren't using it. I forgot what it was. I think it was on
Slack. Basically, because most all of the modules that are out there don't support the threading in 2.0, which is a big thing, big reason to have 2.0. So, it's a catch-22 kind of thing.
There you go. Man, you are just full of knowledge, Rax.
I'm just full of it. People tell me that all the time. But, hey, I want to bring up a couple of other things that kind of have me ticked off and bummed out. Two shows are going to cancel. One is, and I just watched it last night, Comedy Central is supposed to be canceling BattleBots.
No!
Yeah.
That show was great.
It was fun. I mean, you know, Carmen Electra, everything else, you know, you got the chicks, you got the gear, you got all the stuff, it was great. But the one that really has me upset is Farscape.
That is a cool show.
They want to cancel, basically they want to take apart the set of Farscape by the end of this week. And this is another thing that got off the Slashdot, but the easiest way to drill down to it, if you want to send something off, and they say email is not as effective as a fax or a telegram, so there was links even there off to faxing things, but you want to give the producers of the show, say, hey, I love the show, you know, I want to watch it, whatever you want to tell them, and then they said, you know, if you have, like, you know, your age and, you know, what you do for a living, basically they're trying to gather a little bit of demographic data, but what I think it is really is kind of a ploy to say, well, you know, we need to, we want to gather all this stuff so we can boost our advertising rates or something for it. But anyway, they're threatening to tear down the Farscape set this weekend. So you got to do something about this quick, folks. Probably the easiest way to get all the information, if you go to Ain't It Cool News, AintItCoolNews, AintItCoolNews.com. There's a thing right on the front page, Farscape canceled. And they've got all the information there. So, get in, write in, tell them if you're into it, you know, tell them, hey, don't can the show. It's probably what the best regular recurring sci-fi show on the air right now.
Yeah, the you know what? I'm going to talk about the best TV I've seen in a long time. And stop me if I talked about this on previous shows. During my travels, I was slipping through the cable TV, and I came across some PBS station or some station that the local community college was piping their stuff out to the public. And the show was called, and this is from 1969, Demonstrations in Physics with Professor Julius Sumner. And it was this old crazy professor, right, this absent-minded professor performing all of these whacked out, you know, just phenomenal experiments in physics, you know, induction, he was using transformers, electromagnetism, and I loved it, man. I ate it up. I watched, they showed like four in a row, and I watched every one, and I loved every minute of it. That's the kind of TV I like. Other than that, I did, you know, the occasional Cartoon Network, but that was great TV. I enjoyed the hell out of that. You know, he was doing, you know, Jacob's Ladders, and, you know, it was great. It was great. He was shooting shit with, you know, using electromagnetism, and it was phenomenal. That was good TV.
It's that, or you can just sit there, you know, and have a canned laugh track and be told, you know, basically just put your brain on idle. At least that, even though you're not doing the experiments, at least that's engaging the brain a little bit.
Yeah, dude, it was great. And he'd bring up famous quotes from people, and he would do something, but then he would leave it. He would say, "I'm not going to explain that to you. To leave it to your research," or something like that. It was great. I was like, "Yeah, I want to check that out." You know, that was good TV. That's what TV should be about.
Oh yeah, see, I just did a little Google search for him here, and There's the picture. He's got like this tuxedo with a frilly shirt. And
you found him. He's great, man. He was phenomenal. And you know, and it took me back to when I was young. You know, sitting in the library at school, and I would get these little books. You know, they were only about 4 inches wide. You know, and they were regular about 8 inches tall. And they were little books, and they were all about, you know, magnets and electricity and all that stuff. And I used to read those like crazy, and that took me back just to those days. You know, that when that thirst for knowledge is infinite. And actually, I think it still is for me. I think it still is for most of the listeners and you as well, Rax, I'm sure.
And the educational people are quoting this all the time now, but they say lifelong learning. But if you think about it, if you're a doctor and, you know, you're a heart surgeon, let's say, you know, and you're you know, you built your practice, you got all that going. Well, you know, instead of doing open heart surgery, they can now do some of those procedures through a half an inch incision on the chest. You don't have to, you know, crack the ribs and get everything else out of the way. So, you know, as a physician, as a medical doctor, you have to go back every few years just to learn the new techniques. And a lot of it really is as a result of technology and the advances made in technology. You know, again, getting back to medicine, like telemedicine, basically, where a doctor's in one part of the country or one part of the world and using robotic arms and cameras, and that he can perform surgery on someone else in another part of the world. So technology is enabling all that, and we all know, all the listeners and everyone out there know how quickly things change in technology. So it's, you know, it's really become a driving force.
Exactly, and if you don't think you're hacking and freaking has a part in that, in all of those world-changing events, if you don't think you are changing the world in at least a small way, you're wrong, because you are. You've heard this all before. You're pushing the envelope and keep doing it. Do not stop. It's totally, utterly essential. And you know what? I want to bring this Professor Sumner. You know, you may look at him. He's just some old guy ranting about all this crap we don't care about. You know what? This old guy, he is an elite, to coin this cliche, he is an elite hacker. These old guys, you know, they know their shit. They've been doing this stuff for a long time. They've been tinkering with stuff. Old hams. And you know what? This brings up our special guest next week. Next week, we're going to have a special guest. He's going to be talking about a special topic. And we both discussed this. You know, I'll go ahead and tell you. It's going to be about ham radio. Right? And a lot of people say, oh, ham radio, isn't that just a bunch of old guys, you know, messing around with walkie-talkies? Well, actually, no, it's not. These guys really know their stuff. These guys have been messing around with custom projects and antennas and, you know, propagation, and it's just phenomenal what they're doing. Those guys are the most elite hackers there are. And if you get a chance to hang out with some of them, to learn something from them, do it. Take that opportunity. That's why I got my license. Our special guest has his license. And, you know, we're lucky enough to be hanging out with these kind of guys. They're teaching us stuff all the time. So, Professor Sumner and all those old hams out there, you know, props to you. That's we wouldn't be here without you. There's no doubt.
And I know we gotta put a wrap on this show.
Yeah, we do.
Maybe for next week too. There's a great article in the DEF CON program guide called "It's All a Hack," and basically, I'll read that next week. But it's basically talking about how the Wright brothers basically were hackers. They took bicycle parts, they made an airplane. But you're not supposed to make bicycle parts into an airplane. They were hackers.
That's right. I think so. They a creative. You know, what does Stallman say? Playful cleverness.
There you go.
You know, the opening music was Glassjaw, by the way, if you were interested. And for the closing music,
what that Icon of Coil CD?
Yeah, definitely. All right, closing music, Icon of Coil. Check it out. Thanks for listening to RFA 28. Thanks to Zapperlink. Thanks ahead of time to our special guest next week, and Rax, thanks for being on the show.
And you know, I'll say, keep knowledge free. We talked about that a little earlier. You know, freedom is very important, and knowledge is important as well.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, go out and freak. Go out and use the phone. And you know what? Go talk to them old guys. Late.